Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our years in the Niagara Peninsula, places and surroundings very similar to those of the Israelites. We too found ourselves surrounded by grapevines, vineyards, especially below the Niagara Escarpment. Grapes and wine have made the Niagara Peninsula a famous and popular area for visitors, for tourists, and we know, of course, of wine tasting tours that are advertised far and wide. Now, as you may know, vineyards were and still are a common scene in the land of Palestine, especially in the regions around the Lake of Galilee. In his teaching and preaching ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ often used examples from the realm of nature in order to explain things that pertain to the spiritual aspects of your and my life. And so he used illustrations that you and I could see all around, and that the hearers in those days could see around them. Now here in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the illustration of a vineyard and the cultivation of grapes to describe what he means by true, genuine Christianity. Well, now, basic to understanding this particular picture, this illustration, is A, Jesus Christ is the vine. B, his followers are the branches. And C, God the Father is the vine dresser. And the goal of this illustration and of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is actually summed up in verse 8 of our text passage, where the Lord Jesus tells us, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Let us then consider these words of the Lord Jesus Christ by the following theme and division: the vine and his branches and the vine dresser. In the first place, we speak of an intimate relationship. Secondly, evident proof. And then thirdly, a sobering reality. So first then, we want to consider an intimate relationship when we speak of the vine and the branch. Now, congregation, notice first and foremost that the Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the vine, or the true vine. I am, so he says, I am the vine. As you may know from the Gospel of John particularly, Jesus Christ often used the term of I am. And this term is very special because it spells out that old word Jehovah. That is, that Jesus Christ is the I am that I am. He is, and it as it were explains his divine revelation. You meet up with this term time and time again, particularly in the Gospel of John, when Jesus, of course, speaks of, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life, and so on. And so the I am is speaking here in this text passage, that is, Jehovah God himself. Here in our text passage, therefore, Jesus Christ identifies himself as the true vine, or simply as the vine. Now, think here of a grapevine, a gnarled trunk with roots deep into the ground, solid, steady, and life-sustaining. And this is really who the Lord Jesus Christ is, isn't he? He is compared, therefore, and he compares himself to a grapevine, as he calls himself the true vine in verse 1. Jesus Christ, he alone is the solid one. He is the steady one. He is the immovable one. He is the one that you can depend on, you see. He is the source and he is the sustainer of life. Everything having to do with spiritual life everything having to do with physical life flows through him and it flows from him to us, you and me. In Jesus Christ, in this true vine, we have a very telling picture of your and my life. We have a marvelous picture, in fact, of the source of an intimate and of a stable relationship. And wouldn't you want that as well? Have a stable, solid, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he presents himself as the one who can give it to you. This is therefore a very encouraging picture for you and me to look at this morning. Now, in contrast to that, we have the world all around us. And the world really, it is a picture of great instability. The world is a picture of death and of destruction, of hopelessness, even of despair as well. Listen to the news, and all you hear is about killings here, there, and everywhere. Besides this, this world has become geared to the destruction of relationships. The relationship between men and women, and particularly the relationship between various cultures, between blacks and whites. Self-destruction through drug overdose has become an epidemic. We hear, why do so many, especially young people, preteens even, commit suicide, especially in our native communities? They look at the world and it leaves them with no hope whatsoever. Perhaps you know that I just returned from a native community at the bottom of James Bay this past Tuesday, Moose Factory. And that particular Saturday that I was there, there was another funeral again of a teenager who died because of an overdose. And I was told that in the last 3-4 months, there were 3 others who have done the same thing. A terrible, terrible tragedy. And as the chief told me, he says, there's nothing we can do other than, and this is the only hope that we have, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reaching out to these young people, that is the only answer. And so I endeavored also to reach out to the young people, but they are so hardened already. And so, dear people, if I may, please pray also for the natives in that particular area. I know that there are difficulties presently, but they still need the saving work of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to bring that as well. Now there is therefore a great necessity for you and me as well to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is and he presents to us the picture of life. He is like a living grapevine. He is the true vine. And then we're told that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are compared to vine branches. Branches or twigs, as it can also be translated as well. They're small, they're tiny in comparison to the vine. They're not very strong in themselves either. They need all the support that they can get. If you're at all familiar with grapevines, you know that wires have to be put up from pole to pole to pole. And in order to keep the vine branches, particularly those tiny little branches, in order to keep them up, even every branch, so I'm told, is hooked up with a little wire to that larger wire on top. That means, of course, that they need all the outside support. And that means also that the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we need all the outside support that we could possibly get, because we are called the vine branches. But obviously, outward support is not sufficient. Inward support is even more highly necessary. And as you know, in order to have that sort of support, it is necessary to have an organic attachment to divine, a spiritually organic attachment to divine. And in our text, it is called abiding in the vine. Well, now, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and me to know as well. He is the true vine, and believers are the branches or twigs. And we are small, we are very vulnerable, we are in need of constant support. But believers are attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if they are true believers. They are attached to Him, and not in a loose way, but attached to Him in a spiritually, as I said already, in a spiritually organic way, in a living way, in other words. And how then are they attached to Jesus Christ? Well, so we are told, through abiding in Him, and He abiding in them. Well, what does it mean then to abide in Jesus Christ? And I believe that the answer can be found here in our text passage, verse 7, where Jesus Christ Himself says, "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, let me get into some detail here. To abide in Jesus Christ means, first of all, to have His words dwelling in you. Abiding in Jesus Christ, therefore, means having a healthy attachment to His Word. To have a need for His Word. To have a hunger for His Word. To have a love for His Word. That is, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. A good indication, therefore, of you being a true, genuine Christian, dear brothers and sisters, is what you do and how you handle the Word of God. Very telling. Therefore, be very disciplined in the reading of that Word. Don't ever lay your Bible aside as being irrelevant or not being necessary for you. It is part and parcel of abiding in Jesus Christ and of Him abiding in you, because it is through His Word, you see, that He abides in you. And it produces an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry, well-known Bible commentary, explains it in the following way, that our union with Jesus Christ is maintained by the Word, for it is the Word that Christ is set before us, and it is the Word by way He is offered to us. It is in the Word, so he says, that we receive and embrace Jesus Christ. If the Word is therefore our constant guide and monitor, if the Word is really at home in us, then we abide in Jesus Christ, according to Matthew Henry, and I fully agree with him. To abide in Jesus Christ, therefore, means to have an active, fervent prayer life as well. He says, that is the Lord Jesus, he says that if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So as a true Christian, a genuine Christian, abiding in Jesus Christ, you will want what he wants. And your heart's desire will be to live to his delight. You'll find yourself regularly in prayer, therefore, to have the grace to live as Jesus Christ would want you to live. You'll find yourself in regular prayer to be in communion, to be in contact with Jesus Christ. Abiding in Christ means maintaining a healthy, active prayer life, therefore, dialoguing with the One who will never grow tired, who will never grow weary of hearing and listening to you. In fact, it means dialoguing with the only One who actually loves to hear from you and is waiting to answer you. Dialoguing with Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, cultivate and then maintain that type of prayer life as well, because it cultivates and it maintains an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It is part of abiding in Christ. There's yet a third meaning to abiding in Jesus Christ. And it means to have a love of Jesus Christ in you and to continue in that love of Jesus Christ. He says so here in our text passage again in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, as true Christians, you would want to confess this, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 116 says it so beautifully. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. He is the one who hears. That's why I love Him. You love Him also as your hero, because He, after all, sacrificed Himself for you, didn't He? And He did things that you could not possibly do yourselves. He got you out of the way of danger. Now, you remember that whenever we celebrate Remembrance Day, we stand silent for a couple of minutes as well. We honor those who have given their lives, especially in the last two world wars. We respect them for their heroic and their sacrificing actions. But how much more should we respect the Lord Jesus Christ? He sacrificed and He gave Himself for you and for me, and that while we were still sinners, so the Bible tells us. The Apostle Paul says it so eloquently, doesn't he, in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Talk about a hero. It is certainly the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we do have our heroes on this earth. We honor them. But surely, Jesus Christ should have the highest honors from you and from me. Abiding in Jesus Christ, therefore, also means loving Him as well. That too is part of that intimate relationship with Him. And that intimate relationship, dear people, with Him needs to be nurtured so that we will continue in that relationship. Knowing that He loves us should therefore motivate you and me to keep trusting in Him, to keep staying close to Him, because after all, if you love someone, you don't want to be far apart from each other, do you? No, you want to be close. That's part of love. You want to be close. Now, one of the sad things that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has seen in the church is that there are those in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ who at one time loved Him fervently, and especially in their early days of faith. They spoke of Him in glowing terms to anyone who actually wanted to hear and wanted to listen to them. They sang of Him and they sang to Him. You remember those early days after we made confession of faith and we were full of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? But as time wore on, many of us have cooled in our love for Him. Like those in the church of the Ephesians, Ephesus, so we are told, who left their first love. Dear brothers and sisters, don't let this happen. And when you sense that something of that is beginning to happen to you, or if you notice in others that it is happening, Jesus Christ will speak out clearly. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, that is, the first motions of love. Abiding, therefore, in Jesus Christ, dear people, means to have an intimate relationship with Him, faithfully reading His Word, engaging in regular prayer contact and communication with Him, and loving Him for all that He is worth. And He is worth everything. Well, now, let's consider, in the second place, abiding in Christ, an evident proof. What is the evident proof that you and I are abiding in Jesus Christ? Well, we are told here in our text passage that it is to be seen in your and my fruit bearing. Your and my living, abiding connections will therefore make us fruit bearing Christians. Just like a branch is attached to the vine, receiving its life-giving juices from the vine, so a branch will bear fruit. And as you abide in Jesus Christ, the fruit of such abiding will then also begin to grow and develop in you and in me as well. Now, what sort of fruit, you might ask? Well, you can go to a number of Bible passages, but I'm thinking of Galatians particularly. It is the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, Christianity, and perhaps this is something that we need to understand clearly, Christianity is a very unique religion. Every other religion in this world, I mean every other religion in this world, has the mentality of what is there in it for me. If I do this, I will get that. Even to the point where those who consider suicide a possibility of serving in their religion, if I commit suicide for this cause or that cause, well, it is worthwhile because even if others see me as a terrorist, God, the God, whoever that may be, He will reward me. And therefore, what is in it for me? But true Christianity, true biblical Christianity, dear people, takes its cue from Jesus Christ and has the mentality of how can Jesus Christ benefit from me? How can others benefit from me as a Christian? How can my neighbor, for instance, benefit from me as a Christian? And the answer is that Jesus Christ and my neighbor will benefit from me as a Christian when? When I begin to bear fruit. When I begin to bear much fruit. And so again, dear brothers and sisters, let your Christianity be fruit-bearing Christianity. Fruit-bearing Christianity. And it will be fruit-bearing Christianity, you see, if it is Christ-abiding Christianity. Because no one will force the fruit from you. No one will force love or joy or peace or long-suffering or kindness from you. No one will force this from you. Because that would not be genuine, would it be? Because as a true Christian, abiding in Christ, that fruit will grow naturally. It will grow quite of itself as you abide in Christ. Such a fruit will therefore become spiritually natural to you. Why? Because of that organic connection that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a fruit-bearing connection. It is a fruit-producing connection. And this is what abiding in Him and He abiding in you is all about. It's all about whatever. And it will be evident proof, therefore, that you and I are genuine Christians. Therefore, let us examine ourselves. Let us ask ourselves, am I a fruit-bearing Christian? Are we a fruit-bearing Christian? Well, now, let's go one step further. What about the vine dresser? Let's consider that, in this third place, a sobering reality. Our text here speaks also of the vine dresser. And as I've said before already, the vine dresser is God Himself, God the Father. Jesus Christ makes this very clear here in our text passage as well. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the vine dresser then, that is God the Father, does the work of taking away or cutting off branches, and by pruning branches. Now, God, the vine dresser, cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. And why does it not bear fruit, you might ask? Because it is only attached outwardly to the vine. It does not have an inward attachment to the vine. There is no abiding qualities in its attachment to the vine, because it's only outward so. Now, the question can be asked again, and we can examine ourselves on that. How does this relate to you and to me as Christians? Well, if you are a Christian in name only and have no abiding fruit-bearing faith in Jesus Christ, your confession is only an outward confession, isn't it? Then God, the vine dresser, will come by one day and He will actually cut you off with all the other fruitless and dead members. And as Jesus Christ tells us in verse 6, He is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. This is sobering, isn't it? It's a sobering reality. But this is at the same time a very sharp warning to anyone who claims to be a Christian without abiding in Jesus Christ. And so we need to consider this very carefully. God, the vine dresser, you see, He will act. But then I want to go one step further as well. God, the vine dresser, will also visit the fruit-bearing branches who are abiding in the vine. In other words, God will also visit you and me as the vine dresser. Go back to verse 2. Every branch that bears fruit, so we are told, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. And so God, the vine dresser, will visit you. You who have made a genuine confession of your abiding attachment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, He will in fact rejoice in the fruit that you are presently bearing. But He will at the same time also come to prune you so that you will bear more fruit. Now, such pruning can at times be painful. When a secret sin has to be exposed, when that secret sin has to be cut out, or when a weakness to temptation needs to be cut back in your life. As I said, pruning can indeed be rather painful. But it is necessary. Why? So we are told, because fruit season is there for you and for me. And we are called to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Therefore, you and I, we are not only to keep abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, the vine. We are to feed on Him. We are to love Him with all our heart. We are to stay in prayerful communication with Him. We are to be thankful that He indeed has chosen us, you and me, to be one of those living branches of the vine. And yes, we too are to submit to the pruning of the vine dressers. Of the vine dresser, singular. We are to submit to His pruning. How? Without complaining. Without grieving that this has come to me. Why, O God, why did you do this? No, but to be content. To see what God will do yet, even through the pruning. We are to promote, in fact, the pruning work of the vine dresser. Because, and this is what the Lord Jesus ends up with in this marvelous picture and illustration. By this, so Jesus Christ says, by this my Father is glorified. And so you will be my disciples. Now let me just take this one step further. When we are going through pruning times, and it is painful. When we are content and not complain, the Father is glorified. This is what the Lord Jesus points out to. Finally, also you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you who do not yet abide in Jesus Christ, you are not yet a living branch of the vine. You are still just a piece of broken branch, a piece of dead branch, perhaps even lying around. In other words, you cannot yet be called a true Christian. Listen. Listen carefully. There is hope for you. Why? Because contrary to nature, God can take you as a broken and dead branch and, as it were, put you into the vine, graft you into the living vine, Jesus Christ. God can do that. Again, as I said, this is contrary to nature, but it is a miracle that God and God alone can perform. But He would be most pleased to perform that particular miracle also in your life. And therefore, pay close attention. Do you feel yourself at this moment like a broken and dead branch? Do you think that perhaps soon you may be raked up and thrown on a pile of dead branches and be burned up? Here's biblical advice. Go to God. Speak to God about your brokenness, about your deadness, about your fear of someday getting burned up. The Bible speaks of this as repenting of your sin. And repenting, dear friends, repenting basically means confessing to God that you are sorry about your sins. That's repenting. And then as you do, speak to God about what you have heard about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you've heard that He is a great Savior. And that you too would want to know Him and be saved by Him. The Bible calls that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Because of who God is, as He has stated it Himself, that He is a gracious God, a merciful God, and a forgiving God, He will save you as well. So there's good hope for you. He will save you as well. He will grant you to be grafted into the vine by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will cause you to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, by the life-giving work of God, the Holy Spirit. He will make you a fruit-bearing branch as well, by the fruit-producing qualities of the Holy Spirit. So you see again, there is hope for you as well. And therefore, do not pass over this offer of grace that comes to you from the gospel. This is an offer, you see, that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed His blood and gave His life for on the cross of Calvary. And when He declared, "It is finished," all things were done in order to have people like you and me saved. And therefore, dear friends, repent and believe, and you will be saved. And the fear of getting burned will be taken away from you altogether. It will be replaced by that grand perspective of living eternally, loving God, loving Jesus Christ, and loving the Holy Spirit. And in the meantime, bear much fruit. And it will be a pleasure to yourself, it will be a pleasure to others, and God, the great vine dresser, will be delighted, as the Lord Jesus Himself has told us already, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And so, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called this hour to bear much fruit and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.